News special report. A 180 from the Supreme Court today, which has decided to lift a pause on a new immigration law in Texas.
Texas state officials can now arrest, stop, and detain migrants who are suspected of crossing into the U.S. illegally from Mexico.
CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
Texas has argued that this is needed to deter illegal immigration and to discourage people from crossing the border illegally, but obviously critics say it will lead to racial profiling.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
This in itself might, in fact, interfere with how the federal authorities do immigration, and it also raises the question of whether Texas and their jail system and their prosecutors and their law enforcement can even afford to take on this role.
Migrant crossings reached record highs last year and continue to be a point of contention for Republicans, including Texas Governor Greg Abbott. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People on Badger Care Plus can get birth control pills without a prescription for the first time starting today. The contraceptives are available at Medicaid-enrolled pharmacies. Badger Care has long covered over-the-counter daily oral contraception with a prescription. The new order from Governor Evers makes O-pill available without a prescription and with no out-of-pocket costs. Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein says Democrats have abandoned their base. She says she wants to give left-of-center voters a choice in November and not play spoiler.
No, actually, we are giving people an opportunity to vote who otherwise wouldn't be coming out to vote.
And who may have otherwise voted Democrat.
Well, or who wouldn't vote at all.
Stein appeared on WISN-TV's Upfront Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Living with diabetes, navigating restaurant menus can be quite confusing. It's difficult to choose delicious food that will not send your blood sugar through the roof. Making healthy choices when dining out is the topic for the Spring Adult Diabetes Support Group meeting hosted by Aspirus Health. Aspirus registered dietitians Becky White and Carrie Benda will be sharing tips and tricks to help you make wise yet tasty food choices next time that you eat out. The meeting will be held on Tuesday, April 16th from 6:30 to 7:30 in the Aspirus Riverview Hospital's lower level conference rooms B and C. This is off of Dewey Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Adults with type 1 or type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes are invited, as well as caregivers, family members, and support. Attendance is free and no registration is needed. Just put it in your calendar, and if you need more information, call Aspirus Riverview, 715-422-9364. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
It's the Civic Media Ride into Spring Text to Win contest on WFHR. Each weekday, there's four chances to win an overnight getaway at Chula Vista, and a chance for our grand prizes of brand new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. This hour's keyword is vacation, V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N, vacation. Now go to the Civic Media app, pick your favorite station, and text the keyword to enter. Keep listening for more chances to play Ride into Spring on the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers get past the Angels. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 4-3 win over the Angels in spring training. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked how their top prospect, outfielder Jackson Chourio, is doing.
He's definitely one of the guys, no question about it, but he's got a ways to go. You know, like, he's really young. He's really talented. There's a lot on him, but he brings it every day. He loves baseball. He's going to figure it out.
The Journal Sentinel reports the 20-year-old Chourio is expected to start opening day, making him the youngest Brewer ever to do so since the kid, Robin Yount, 50 years ago in 1974 at the age of 18. NFL Packers backup left tackle Yash Nyman signing a 2-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. Nyman lost the job to Rashid Walker last season. College hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team headed back to the Frozen Four Friday night when they face Colgate, the game to be held in New Hampshire, face off at 6:30. The Wisconsin women looking to repeat as national champions. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Happy first day of spring as we get a little spike in our temperatures temporarily, rising to near 50 degrees. However, winds pulling out of the north become feisty, knocking us to the teens tonight and staying below freezing tomorrow under sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this March 19th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming into the studio, actually on the phone, I should say, our great friend, Kayla Rombalski. She is a community development educator with our friends at UW Extension Madison Wood County. Kayla, good to have you on the air with us.
Hi, James. Good to be here.
Always appreciate the time and the information and what you and our friends at Extension bring to our listeners. We really appreciate that, Kayla. And one thing that we're going to focus on today, we're going to get to some great events that you guys are a part of. We're going to really focus on entrepreneurship here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, we sure are. And this is something that we've talked about before, but wanting to make sure that folks that are starting businesses in Wood County and central Wisconsin know that they're supported in that act, and talking about some of the great things we have planned for continuing to encourage entrepreneurs to take that napkin idea that they have and turning it into a real successful business model.
It's really fascinating to me to look at the arc of a human being or the arc of a business, see where it starts and where it ends up. By now, most people have heard a lot of the term pivoting. A lot of the tech world really highlighted that and brought it to the everybody's lexicon. But almost every business has done some pivoting before. It's a big part of not only starting a business, but the idea, even when that idea first begins. And so much of that too is important. This topic is important to me. One of the things that's important to me to mention about this topic, I think, is the biggest difference of the people that make it and don't. I know this a lot from my industry and entertainment, and the difference between me and another person it rarely comes down to talent or connections or anything like that. It is a relentlessness. It is a drive to want to succeed. It is a drive to want to make something happen. And we know that so many in our business world are feeling the same way, especially when you come up with these ideas. You want to take the ball, you want to run with it, but you want to make this happen, make it successful. So that's where entrepreneurship and some of these events really, really are key.
Right, exactly. That's where our conversation is coming from this morning. Looking at how we can support those folks that have those ideas and want to take them to the next level. So, James, I'm even thinking about you in this with your Simpsons one-act play that we've talked about in the past, thinking about you as a potential entrepreneur with that idea and that idea in the back of your head that one day could become a hit and something that could become, a business model for you. Mm. So. Yeah.
We have other great, better ideas out there, but I appreciate that. But it is a great example to bring up too, because while you go from having a great idea, you think it's really good, and then all of a sudden you start to wonder, well, I don't know, would masses like this? Would this be popular? Would this be successful? It's great to have opportunities for a lot of our young entrepreneurs out there to meet up and to have other people to talk to about these subjects.
Right. Yes. So we've got a couple of different events on the docket for folks to do just that. So wanted to share that there is a Founders Network event coming up in Pittsville at the Pittsville Lions Clubhouse. This is open to anyone from the area, certainly from Wood County, but from beyond as well. It's free of charge, and it will be a chance for entrepreneurs and those who support them to really have the opportunity to meet, to chat, to cultivate ideas together, and kind of talk about what they're working on and find ways that they can be supported. So at this particular event, let me back up and first say that these events are happening across central Wisconsin. So there's one actually in Wausau this afternoon. There has been a few in Stevens Point that have been hosted, and then this will be the first Wood County event, and we're pretty excited about it. So there's a brief program that will actually include the startup story of a local Kiva loan recipient and sharing out of a new Central Wisconsin financing tool thanks to the Central Wisconsin Economic Development Fund. So if you're looking at, you know, oftentimes when what we hear from small business owners and entrepreneurs is that when they're trying to take that, you know, using that napkin idea, again, they're trying to take that idea and turn it into a fledgling business, or take a business that maybe has just been started but is looking to go to the next level. In order to do that, you need funding. You need the capital to make that happen. And so at this networking event, we will be sharing, success stories and a new tool that entrepreneurs can use. And then also just a chance to meet with others that are kind of interested in the same topics, right, that are doing these having these startup ideas and working within their businesses in our county. So we're really excited about it. Again, it's Thursday, April 18th from 5:30 to 7, completely free of charge. We'll have drinks and refreshments available, as well as the opportunity to just meet and chat with some really cool people.
And this is taking place at the Pittsville Lions Club?
Yes, that's correct. So Pittsville is the geographic center of the state. So kind of a cool fact there, but also a really cool community. I do a lot of work with Extension in Pittsville. And it's it's a community that's often overlooked. It's right in between what we call North and Southwood County. So same distance, really, from Marshfield and Rapids. And so oftentimes it gets kind of lost in that North-Southwood divide. But they're doing some really amazing things with their downtown. They have some housing incentives that they've been working on. Very forward-thinking community, and also a lot of entrepreneurial startups that are happening in Pittsville. So it's really a chance for Pittsville to kind of shine and show what they've been working on, but to also just bring people together to continue the conversation around these topics.
Send a big shout out to our friends in Pittsville. We love our listeners and our friends over there. Hear from them from time to time, and we don't get to highlight Pittsville or towns like that nearly enough. So I love being able to the opportunity to do that. And to that point too, Kayla, you know, when it comes to entrepreneurship and these sort of things, to be able to talk to like-minded people, to be able to share ideas with people that are in a similar boat, if not the same boat that you are, there's such a support and a confidence that can be built from that. Even before the sharing of information or, you know, different opportunities that there are economically for entrepreneurs, all those things are really important. But just the basis of support and encouragement. You and I have talked about this before. Support, encouragement, cost nothing, can mean everything. That's what a lot of this networking and this meetup is about, along with, of course, sharing information about other opportunities economically and different ways that you can really get this off the ground and get running.
Yes, so true. So we invite anyone who's interested in this conversation to come out. Maybe you're not an entrepreneur, but you just want to hang out with folks that are. Please come and join us. We'd love to see you at this event. As I mentioned, this is part of a larger network. So the Founders Network is, if you search for Basin Founders Network on the internet and on Facebook, you'll find an event and a page that pops up, and they're planning events that, I'm looking at the definition right now, hosting social events that inspire creative thinking and build social capital in north central Wisconsin. So this is the upper and central Wisconsin River Basin, and Yeah, they're doing some great things.
Kayla, I apologize. I got really excited there because you touched on something that I have in my notes. I wanted to make sure to highlight with this. And, you know, that we're talking so much about entrepreneurship and people out there with their ideas. But there are a lot of businesses out there and a lot of, you know, people out there, basically, that are looking to fund or looking to find the next great idea, the next great thing.
Yeah.
And support that, and whether it's financially or what other reasons. So we definitely want to encourage you to attend this, too. We hear this from time to time, the idea of you could have bought stock in Apple, you know, when it first started
right.
out or something
yeah.
like that. Like,
it's that opportunity.
yeah. Here's that opportunity. Here it is. It's a chance to not only be able to do that, but you're also supporting local. You are supporting local business people, and you are highlighting your state and you know, just embodying that, too. So there's so many good reasons to come to this great conference.
Yes. Exactly. And I apologize, James, for cutting you off. I love when we both get going and we get so excited about what we're talking about
that
it seems like we fill this segment in no time at all.
I think we're pretty even on that one. I think I've cut you off, you've cut me. I think we're pretty even. We're okay. I think we're good.
Yeah.
We may even do it some more in the interview here. So who knows?
You never know.
I do want to continue talking a little bit about some of the events that you guys are going to be a part of. Let's go ahead and continue with that.
Yeah, so speaking of folks that want to support entrepreneurs, you know, those that may be in business lending, for example, or educators, teachers who are working with students that may have ideas for what they want to do after they graduate that might involve owning their own business or opening a retail shop or whatever it might be, we are also hosting an event called Homegrown. It is called Homegrown because it's really focused on supporting our homegrown entrepreneurs. So within the world of economic development, there's a lot of talk about how communities want to attract from outside, right? They want to attract new businesses to come to the area and look at that as a really sound strategy for supporting local economics. So if we can get Coca-Cola to build a plant in Wisconsin Rapids and you know, create all these jobs, that it's going to be this great thing. And in a lot of cases, it can be. But what we found over the years, what the data shows, is that supporting businesses that start in your community and grow in your community is far more successful than trying to attract from outside. And what I mean by that is, you know, a local business that had its roots, maybe they started in a garage in Marshfield and then opened their business, you know, to a brick and mortar location and continue to grow. That business is going to have far more connections to the local community. So when it comes time to think about further expansion, and maybe they're thinking they might want to move to a different community that might have a better fit for perhaps land or the building that they're looking for, if they have a connection and a strong tie to the community they're in, that's absolutely not even going to be on the table, right? So you think about those businesses that really have those connections to the community and really are grounded in the community, and that's what we want to see more of. So this Homegrown event is really about trying to foster and lift up the businesses that are starting in our communities, particularly looking at entrepreneurs and those who are just getting started with their businesses. So it'll be 2 days. It is Monday, April 29th, and Tuesday, April 30th. We have just finished the Save the Date. So this is really, me talking to you about this is kind of hot off the presses. We haven't done a lot of advertising for it yet, but we definitely want folks to become involved in this event and to attend. So in those 2 days, the first day is really at looking at what we call the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So again, I feel like everything in economic development has such a buzzword associated with it. Like we create these terms for things, right? Mm. So entrepreneurial ecosystem is one of those terms. Essentially what that means is just creating a community that really supports and lifts up entrepreneurs and the work that they're doing. Mm. So who are we looking at to attend this event? We really want to include those individuals who are working directly with entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs themselves. So that might include commercial bankers or lenders, business lenders, educational institutions, local municipal leaders, entrepreneurs themselves, or community influencers. If you think about the people in your community that just seem to know everyone and are always making the connections between between people and between resources, those are the folks that we want in the room at this event.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really going to spend some time on the first day looking at the current state of entrepreneurship in our community. So looking at what data we have, what initial strategies we have for entrepreneurship, why entrepreneurship is a really good economic development strategy, as I talked about earlier, with wanting to support those who are creating businesses in your local community. And then we'll hear from some local entrepreneurs. So we have some entrepreneurs slated to tell their story and kind of talk about how they got started and what would have been really great for them along the way, like what resources they felt like they really could have used to kind of, develop some understanding of where those gaps are. So what are entrepreneurs needing as they get started that we don't have in Wood County? Or what would someone feel like is a reason to leave the community? So maybe they are starting their business and they realize, Wood County is not a good fit for me. We want to know about that. We want to know why you're leaving and hopefully be able to make some change in that area so that we can keep those entrepreneurs here. So that'll really be the first day. And then the second day is all about action planning and looking at how we can strengthen relationships, how we can strengthen connections between entrepreneurs and move forward. So it's a great agenda. I'm really excited about it. I think our team, our entrepreneurship team at the county level that's made up of a variety of different stakeholders is really excited about it. And we hope folks will attend and join us.
And Kayla, by now, most everybody has seen the reports about how Wisconsin has been affected by the lack of winter this year, especially our northern area. The economic impact that this has had is, not really able to, we can't even really understand until we have some time to take the data in and really take a look back and see. Another factor that comes up with almost every representative I have on the air here, senators, congressmen, even locally, mayors, and that is keeping people in state and that. So the, right. you bring these two factors together, and an opportunity like this has even more meaning to it. It already is a great idea and a great chance for us to be able to support our entrepreneurship and young entrepreneurs and ideas here in the state. But it becomes that much more important when we look at the year that we have had here. Is that part of the reason for this, or was this something that would, pretty much going to happen either way?
So this was in the works even before that, but I think that's a perfect example of why this work is so important, because we really do need to look at supporting. We don't know what's coming next. So whether it's a global pandemic that takes a really significant toll on our restaurants and our dining experiences, whether it's the lack of snow that takes a significant toll on our outdoor recreational businesses and experiences, we don't know what the future is going to look like. So as strong as we can build our community supports for local businesses, the better our community will be, and the more resilient our community will be, the more able those businesses will be to pivot. And I have to tell you, this is totally an aside, but I am a huge Friends fan. And so every time I hear the word pivot, I think of when Ross and I think it's Rachel are moving a couch up their New York City apartment.
Yes.
And they are trying to get the couch around the corner. And Ross is just going, pivot, pivot.
You're my people, Kayla. So, you're my people.
So that is what I think of every time I hear that word pivot. But I think it's so true. Like that's often when you're saying it, right? It's times of,
so true.
Of not emergency, but times of like stress when you're like, okay, we've got to change this. It's not working. How can we pivot and make it different?
And it speaks to, just talking about it also speaks to just the idea of entrepreneurship, too. It's a really important, not only conference, but it's great to see the support coming to this. And while I don't think that there's a bad time to start on these things early, it is great to see our friends at Extension and so many others coming together and jumping on this topic right away. And
right.
Not like a year from now or something like that. I think that is key to this conversation and really it should be noted to as a compliment to you and your team at Extension and the other people involved in this. It's really great to see. Kayla, we don't want to keep you too long or anything here. And just so the audience knows, Kayla's been playing hurt, everybody, and we really appreciate her doing that. So thank you again for that, Kayla. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. My kids were kind enough to share. I
they're
harp
such
on
givers.
Them a lot about sharing and how that's important. I'm not sure sharing their colds and flu viruses is as important as sharing their toys, but they'll take it.
Kids are pretty good about that, aren't they? They're really shares.
Right.
They really are.
Yeah.
I wanted to, if you don't mind, I wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities conference coming up in May.
Yes. So we have talked a lot about the local level, and while Wisconsin as a state is still local, I wanted to call out attention to a conference conference on entrepreneurship that Extension, as well as a number of other partners, are hosting in the Driftless area of Wisconsin, so down in Platteville. It will be May 30th to 31st, and it is the first time that this conference is being hosted in Wisconsin. In other Midwestern states, it is an annual conference, but it's coming to Wisconsin for the first time, so we're super excited about this. Again, the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference, it'll be hosted in Platteville, which I was just sharing with some colleagues is a community that I know next to nothing about, aside from the fact that they have a university there, but I don't really even know much about that. And so I'm excited I'll be attending. Something that I think is really interesting about this conference is it's going to dive into a lot of the topics that we've been talking about. So how to build belonging in communities through entrepreneurship, how to support local business, how to look at entrepreneurship and economic development together as a sort of a long game for a retention strategy for businesses and employees in your community. But aside from the topics, the actual conference itself is not held in, in a hotel conference ballroom or center. It's held across the city of Platteville. So it sounds like, from what I've heard, each session will be sort of at a different downtown business, and will give folks the opportunity not only to learn from one another and to learn from the presenters that are giving the sessions, but also just to have a chance to explore a new community and learn what has been successful in supporting entrepreneurs and supporting local residents in the city of Platteville. So that should be kind of exciting too. It's not a conference where you're sitting in the same desk, the same stuffy chair for 8 hours at a time. It sounds like it's going to be very engaging, very up and moving, and always in a different spot.
Is this a conference, Kayla, that we need to register for?
Yes. Yep. So registration is available now. You can find that at economicdevelopment.extension.wisc.edu. Or if you search for Wisconsin, I know I always give this option because I just think it's easier than typing in a website. If you search for Wisconsin Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference, it'll come right up, and you'll be able to register there.
And again, we want to remind people about the Founders Network Wood County Meetup that is coming up Thursday, April 18th, 5:30 to 7 over at the Pittsville Lions Club. We'll be talking more about these events on our morning shows and in our community calendar events and everything, and making sure that you guys get a really good crowd and all of our great entrepreneurs know about these events, Kayla.
Awesome. Thank you so much, James. Always a pleasure.
Always a joy working with you and talking with you, Kayla. You take care, get better, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up for you on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
What do trees and the joy of painting artist Bob Ross have in common? Ross loved both painting and the environment. He used simple brush strokes to bring happy little trees to life on canvas. Well, now the Wisconsin DNR is using this as inspiration for a virtual Run for the Trees race called the Bob Ross Happy Little 5K. The race supports a healthy lifestyle along with a healthy forest, and a part of your registration fee will go towards a large tree planting effort all across Wisconsin. Now, the best part, pick where and how you start and finish, and complete your 5K anytime between Earth Day on April 22nd and Arbor Day, April 26th. Find all the details and sign up at dnr.wisconsin.gov/events, and then simply search for Run for the Tree. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two hospitals and several clinics in and around Eau Claire are set to close Friday. Governor Evers is calling on Republican lawmakers to release $15 million for health care in the region.
I don't know what could be more of a crisis, frankly, if they're waiting for something else. They've got one right now.
Evers and Republicans disagree whether the money should just go to emergency rooms or pay for more services. It's up to the Joint Finance Committee to release the money. A lot of rural communities around Wisconsin don't have tornado sirens. Local leaders are urging people to get a NOAA weather radio, download weather apps, and sign up for local mass phone notifications. Tornado season normally starts in the spring, but Wisconsin did get some tornadoes in February. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. It's Fix a Leak Week, and the Wisconsin DNR is reminding us to prevent household water waste and to practice water conservation. Even in a water-rich state like Wisconsin, it matters. The United States wastes nearly 1 trillion gallons of water each year due to household leaks. So try these water-protecting, money-saving ideas to stop water waste in your house. Check your meter over a period when water isn't being used. If it goes down, you probably have a leak. Tighten your shower head. That can reduce water use by up to 500 gallons a year. Also, inspect outdoor faucets and irrigation systems each spring to ensure that frost or winter freezing didn't damage the pipes. The tiniest leak can result in over 6,000 gallons of water waste a month. And tickets are now on sale for Disney's Mona Jr. This production is put on by the Wisconsin Rapids Public School Children's Theater. Shows start Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Brewers get past the Angels. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 4-3 win over the Angels in spring training. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked how their top prospect, outfielder Jackson Trio, is doing.
He's definitely one of the guys, no question about it, but he's got a ways to go. You know, like, he's really young. And he's really talented. There's a lot on him, but he brings it every day. He loves baseball. He's going to figure it out.
The Journal Sentinel reports the 20-year-old Trujillo is expected to start opening day, making him the youngest brewer ever to do so since the kid, Robin Yount, 50 years ago in 1974 at the age of 18. NFL Packers backup left tackle Yash Nyman signing a 2-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. Nyman lost the job to Rashid Walker last season. College hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team headed back to the Frozen Four Friday night when they face Colgate, the game to be held in New Hampshire, face off at 6:30. The Wisconsin women looking to repeat as national champions. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Happy first day of spring as we get a little spike in our temperatures temporarily, rising to near 50 degrees. However, winds pulling out of the north become feisty, knocking us to the teens tonight and staying below freezing tomorrow under sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 Player Selection Draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Aaron Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on, to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis, but like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former true. Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this March 19th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming into our studio our good friend, Amy Fluno, 2-on-1 director with the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Amy, good to have you here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been a while. It's good to have you. How have you been?
I'm good.
Good to hear. Amy, we appreciate everything that you and your staff do with 2-on-1, how much it helps people. We've had some stats over the years of how vital 2-on-1 is to our communities, how many different people it reaches, and all of those stats. But we have new listeners all the time and new people in the area all the time. If you don't mind, I'd like to start off just giving an example or telling people what 2-on-1 is so they know the services that are available to them.
Sure. So 2-on-1 is a information and referral line. So you just dial the three digits, just like 911 or 411 or 511. So any of those. So we are information and referrals. So we have a database full of like we call them like human service listings and agencies, and from county stuff to churches to counseling services, just everything under the sun that you can think of, places to donate stuff. So it's not always just if you need help, but it's if you're looking to, you know, donate stuff, or if you hear about an event, usually we can, you know, kind of find some information on that and help you find that stuff. So we have, we just did an audit on our database the other day. We have 659 agencies.
Wow.
In our database.
Wow.
And we serve 13 counties. So that
covers a lot.
That's a lot. And there's two of us. So it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of time, and it's a lot of, you know, connecting with people and getting them services that they need and connecting with the agencies and making sure that we have the information for the services that they're providing. So, I mean, it's available 24/7 throughout the whole state, actually throughout the whole country, Canada, Puerto Rico, So it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Huge thing. Yeah.
Amy, how do you answer questions about Puerto Rico? No, I'm joking.
I do. I can tell you. I can transfer you to them. I just had somebody this morning calling from wanting information in Los Angeles. So
wow.
I look it up and I transfer them on their way. So
exactly what I was trying to do there with that joke is set you up for that. No, that's really interesting.
I don't think
a lot of us would know that sometimes you get those kind of calls.
We do.
And it's
really weird. And I don't know. I mean, we get calls from like the UP because of the way the phone systems work is really how that one is. And then we get like Minnesota calls and, you know, but I've probably honestly in the time that I've done this, I've probably had somebody from almost every state.
Yeah.
Like,
I imagine.
It's insane. I'm like, how do you get our number? Like,
It's fascinating. First off, we don't get to do this nearly enough with 2-on-1. I want to thank you and your colleague and the people that work on this, and we appreciate it so much. And all the heavy lifting that you do with this program is vital and really appreciative. You mentioned how many different resources you have. Mm-hmm. When it comes to people out there that may want their information to be, you know, with 2-on-1, do people usually reach out to you? Do you guys reach out to people? How does that usually
work? It kind of goes both ways. We do have an inclusion policy that we go, it's a statewide policy since we do statewide work, so it has to fit into that inclusion policy, but that's definitely something that we can talk about. So if you are an agency that's looking, you know, if you think you're not in our database, you know, you can contact me and we can talk about it and we can see if you fit. Like I said, there is criteria. Like with anything, you know, mm-hmm. we have to make sure that it's legitimate. We have to make sure that it's going to fit with what our callers are looking for mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned this already, Amy, that 2-on-1 is certainly a great resource for a lot of things, but also the not so much maybe the big things. Sometimes you're like, hey, when is recycling in this area? You just moved here.
Yep.
And a lot of those questions. That's mm-hmm. A resource that we for a lot of us, it's old school, but to many people out there, it might even seem like new and interesting. Wow, this is really cool. 2-on-1, how great.
Yeah.
You know, we used to dial 0 or we call information or something back in the day. Now we have 2-on-1.
Yeah.
So that's a great resource to have, but it's also important for the audience and people out there to know it's not just maybe for the big, big stuff.
Right.
Sometimes it's those kind of questions you might have.
Yeah, and we get those interspersed with the big, hard questions too, you know, so it's kind of nice to, and we try our darndest to answer questions. I mean, we're not, you know, perfect, and we don't know all the answers, and we will tell you straight out if we don't know, and I will tell you, hey, that's one I've never had before, because mm-hmm. there are definitely questions I've never had before, even after years and years and years of doing this, so every day is different.
And Amy and her team will direct you where they can.
Yeah.
They're not going to leave you hanging or anything.
Nope.
They're going to help you out as best as they can.
For sure. I mean, we try to work through it with you. You know, if it's a big problem and it's something that you're, a lot of people just want to talk to somebody that is not involved in the situation, and it seems to be easier to, you know, kind of be a little bit more open and honest with someone who doesn't know your situation mm-hmm. and isn't going to judge you because they, you know your past and they know everything about you. So it can be a little nicer that way. And there's always questions like, you know, have you tried this? Have you tried that? You know, what about this? Or, you know, what did you do last time? And, you know, yeah, I mean, we're just a different set of ears to listen and a different mind mm-hmm. thought too. So I think that makes a big difference.
And having that resource and that ability for many people out there is so helpful, not mm-hmm. only when you first move to an area, but maybe if you're in an area and things change or something, maybe you moved to a different spot of town and going back to the recycling thing, those simple questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice to have a resource like this. Also, one of the things that I know I reference 2-on-1 all the time for about is volunteer opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Always want to make sure that people are aware of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great ways to put back into your community and to you kids out there, you seniors that are getting ready for school and college and everything.
Yeah.
And there's not many things that look better to a college applications office than having volunteerism on your resume.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do that too. I mean, there's places, you know, that we can refer you to volunteer work, you know, right in our office. So, but there's definitely other places all around the area too that can help with volunteer stuff. you know, yeah, it's a great mm-hmm. way to get involved in the community for sure.
And almost every day there's new opportunities volunteer-wise mm-hmm. in yeah. this area. So when it comes to you call up one day and maybe you don't hear anything that works with your schedule, keep calling, keep yeah. checking in. There's always new opportunities, new ways for you to put back into your community.
Absolutely, yeah.
Amy, you guys also have a new help guide out. I want to touch on that.
We do, yeah.
It's fancy, by the way. That is nice looking. I like it. That's a good looking flyer.
So, and it's bigger than it ever has been. So, yeah, we do this every year. We apply for a grant through Encourage to pay for the printing, which is always super helpful. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate that. But yeah, we updated it this year, so it is active and ready to go for 2024. We have it all out all over the city, the area, and we added some extra stuff because stuff is getting harder and it's definitely needed. So,
what kind of new things did you add down this?
What kind of new things did we add? Transportation, a little bit more clothing and household stuff. More mental health and addiction resources, which has been front and center lately. Mm. Yeah, more food resources. We've kind of added those, excellent. Like the senior stock boxes. We mm-hmm. put on those, which if you're a senior, those are a really great, it's a really great program that you yeah. can call 211 and get registered for. So yeah, we just added a couple of extra spots on here and, you know, made it a little bit bigger. So, another thing we added on here, too, is there is a 211 app
mm-hmm.
That was started in Dane County, and we all use it throughout the state. So you can download it anytime, Apple or Play Store, and just use it. It's not as extensive as, like, our website or calling us, but if you're, you know, doing something really quick, it's great. Mm-hmm. Really user-friendly. I've used it a couple times on stuff. So, yeah, it's a great thing to have on there. We also have like the suicide and crisis lifelines, which mm-hmm. are really important pieces too. So yeah, it's been a really great new look. It's a pretty green.
It is nice. It is a pretty green. And the app is fantastic. I'm glad you mentioned that. It is really easy to use, yeah. very simple to download. And it has already been helpful to me. And I know at least one other person that has downloaded it.
Good.
It's been very helpful for them. And especially with, like you said there, the quick questions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say simple because almost it doesn't feel like so. In the moment, no question yeah. feels simple. But yeah. some of the more basic stuff, it's right. really great for as well.
Yeah. And like the app, like we have the app, which is awesome. We also do texting, so if you know just want to text yeah. really quick too, because not everyone wants to talk on the phone, which is completely right. understandable.
Yeah.
You know, life is busy and sometimes that's just not your thing. We're also gonna start chatting. So doing chatting. Nice. We're the only center that does not do that right now in the state, so we're gonna add on to that and see how that works. So that you can get off of our website, you can chat right on our website. So yeah, that'll be interesting to start that.
I imagine. Yeah. And different for you and your staff,
yeah,
I imagine. That's going to
sure.
take some getting used to, I'm
it
sure.
is.
And I wish yeah. you the best with that. But I do admire that not just you, but the United Way in general is doing that. It is kind of the way a lot of things are going.
It is, yeah.
And this speaks to the heart and really the heart of the United Way throughout the country, wherever you find a United Way.
Yeah.
But speaking to our local United Way of South Windham's Counties, Amy, in the time that I've gotten to work with you and Terry and talking with you guys, seeing the Alice reports, all of this, mm-hmm. after years and years of doing it, I was prepping for our interview today. And one of the things that I was excited about was hearing about any changes with 211, in part because the United Way is the pulse of our community.
Mm-hmm.
So often we find out about things. Hey, this is an issue in our community. And we
yeah.
find out about it because the United Way knows about it.
Yeah. And that's another great thing with 211 too. So we track unmet needs. So mm-hmm. when you call and I say, oh, I'm sorry, there really isn't anything like that, that gets recorded. And then mm-hmm. I can bring that up, you know, to other people, to Terry, to anyone, and just say, hey, this is what we're seeing. Yeah. You know, we're really seeing an influx of these kind of calls. And, you know, there isn't anything. Mm-hmm. So we need to do something. You know, this needs to be brought to attention. Yeah. This needs to be talked about. It needs to be, you know, discussed with whoever it needs to be discussed with. And we need to figure something out. And, you mm-hmm. know, whether that happens, you know, it just needs to be brought up. And I think that's one of the really great things that we can We can record those unmet needs. And then we can also say, hey, this is what we're really seeing an influx in, you know, just so everybody's aware, these are our top needs. These are what we're seeing everybody calling about, you know, and it does change a little bit. Like I usually do like a top five and they kind of intersperse themselves, and rearrange every so often.
And this stuff is so important in this in today's day and age and everything. Yeah. I would imagine almost every year or two, we're going to have shifts in this.
Yeah.
In part because, for one, we're doing good work on a lot of these subjects and maybe they get better, which is a positive and a win for everybody in the community.
Yeah.
But also that, this was never an issue before. Now it is.
Right.
This is why I say the pulse of the community, because there are there's plenty of opportunity for a nonprofit to say, hey, this is what we have a resource of, this is what we're going to offer, even if the community doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Whereas the United Way is listening to the community, is doing surveys, which is why it's so important for you to fill those surveys out, everybody, and paying attention to things like this. We need to update 211 because this is a need now, and this is a need now, and it wasn't a couple of years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are definitely seeing that with any kind of mental health and addiction services. It's been a huge thing. I mean, we have our Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline that we man, and we update our database on that continually, and that has been a huge influx, where I would say 5 years ago it wasn't even on the radar. We weren't getting calls for anything like that, and if it was so few and far between, and now it's multiple calls a week, people looking for counseling services, people looking for inpatient programs, for anything with mental health and addiction services. And those are not as readily available as they could be. So that's been a struggle too, that really gets to you too, when you can't.
I can imagine.
When there isn't anything and you're like, there isn't. And then the people on the other line, they know that. You're not telling them anything they don't know, because they've already probably gone through some research or done, talked to places or talked to other people, and know that it is an issue, and it is a very widespread issue throughout the whole state, not just local.
And it's important on a couple layers here. One, we all live in bubbles, and there's
for sure.
Even in a small town like this, there could be things going on. And you're like, well, I didn't realize that was a problem.
Yeah.
So hopefully it creates some attention and some awareness and some empathy in our community for
Absolutely.
Other issues.
Yeah.
There's that part of this. There's also the part that, I think you bring up a really strong point, Amy, of, well, this is an issue. You run it up the flagpole. You tell the people about it, and maybe not a lot gets done on it. Maybe not a program gets started that day.
Right.
But maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, that's how every bit of change starts.
Yeah.
There was a time not that long ago where there were people who, nobody's ever going to recycle. Nobody's ever going to take the time to do that.
Right.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go through their garbage and do all that. Now we do it. We don't even think about it.
Yeah.
That's how change works.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it starts oftentimes with things like this, like calling up 211 or answering these surveys in the United Way, and a nonprofit seeing, hey, this is a concern in this community.
Right. Yeah, and I love that. I love that we can do that. Like, we can bring things up and just say, this is what we're seeing. This is what's going on. This is what's happening in the area, whether it's, just in our area of Wood County, whether it's in the other 12 counties that we serve. It really doesn't matter. I mean, people need the same resources no matter if they're here or in Ashland County. Like, it just doesn't matter. It's the same thing everywhere. So...
Amy, any other notes on 211 before getting to some of the great events you guys are doing?
No, I think we covered pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do remember that the new pamphlets are out, everybody. We have some here at the studio if you want to pick one up, and certainly at the United Way offices.
Yeah, if you need some, if we missed you for whatever reason, please feel free to give us a call, and we will have extras that we can give out to you.
It is tax time right around the corner. I want to remind everybody that myfreetaxes.com is available for you. Be sure to check that out at uwswac.org. There's a link you can click on. Go right to My Free Taxes.
Yeah, and it's super easy. I've done it.
Yeah, I do it. I've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now so far. And
yeah.
I've reached out to the IRS, and they do not know who I am.
Yeah,
so I'm good.
That's
I'm good. No,
yeah.
It's such an easy thing to be able to use. And I cannot recommend it enough to people out there. If you are you know, it's a free service, and I encourage you to find out if you can use it or not.
Yeah.
Amy, I also wanted to make sure to touch on a couple of other big events that you guys have coming up. One of them seems to get bigger and bigger every year, the Community Shred Day.
Yeah. So that is happening on Wednesday, April 10th from 9 to 11 at Prevail Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Prevail Bank parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just one. You can bring all of your sensitive documents, so tax return, you know, any of that kind of stuff that's, you know, old enough to get rid of. Don't get rid of important stuff.
Yes.
But any, you know, old stuff, old bank statements, canceled checks, anything like that, you just put them in a box, you pop on over, and then we get money for that. So, yeah, it's really a great partnership.
It's a safe and trustworthy way of getting rid of your documents in a day and age where that's never meant more.
Right.
That's
for
important.
Sure. Yeah. Identity theft is huge. So this is a good way to protect yourself.
And then, you know, just for a $5 donation to be able to do this, you're also knowing not only is your information safe, but you're putting back into your community, because that $5 goes a long way for the United Way.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's $5 donation. I mean, if you can, if not, it's okay too. But yeah, I mean, any sensitive documents that you need to get rid of, you know, is always better than throwing them away.
Yeah.
Always safer.
Community Shred Day coming up April 10th from 9 to 11 over at Prevail Bank parking lot. We'll talk more about this as we get closer to it. I did want to mention the book drive going on as well, Amy.
That's always
an important one.
I was a little hesitant on this one.
Okay.
Because I'm the one that deals with all the books, and we do have a ton of them. But we are always super short on baby board books and easy readers.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we are asking for this time around. Storybooks are always great and chapter books are always great, but we have a lot of them and that we need to get those out to the community. So if you have kids that are getting out of the board books and the easy readers, I will take them off your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime between April 1st and April 26th, you can bring them to the office. If you have a huge amount of them, you can always call us and make sure that we're always there. But, you know, anyway, so the month of April, so really, really, really board books and easy readers, because those, like this year we have added going to Building Blocks, and they're big agencies, so they have a lot of kids. So, you know, we try to have enough books for everybody, and that's going to be one of our first stops, so they could wipe us out pretty quickly with what we have. So adding to that inventory of the baby books and the easy readers would be great. So if you have those, I will take them off your hands all day, every day. So
please do reach out to the United Way, find out a good time to be able to drop those off. We really appreciate you being able to do that. You're investing in our future with us. You're helping kids read better. It goes a long ways.
Reading is a huge, for 2024, I'm a huge reader. And for 2024, I have decided that I am going to write down every book that I read, and I am on my 20th book for the year.
Right on. Way to be. Nice job. Wow.
I know. Wow. I never know how many books I read. I read a ton. A ton. And then I'm like, did I read this already? And so I decided I'm going to write down everything that I read. So I'm on my 20th book.
I think that's a good note for people out there. I'm going to tell my mom that one. She's like you. She reads like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's good. Amy, as we're wrapping up, I want to take the time to talk about the 12th Annual United Weekend Food Sculpture Contest coming up.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's already coming up. That just surprised me when I looked at it.
But I don't know what is happening to this year.
Time's a flat circle.
Yeah.
This is one of our favorite events, not only because we get to work with the rafters and have them involved, but so much of the community gets involved in our great local businesses and nonprofits.
Yeah. So I think Ben is still looking for some teams, so you can register with him. You can call him or shoot him an email. You can register by May 1st, and it is on Tuesday, June 18th, which sounds like a ways away, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
So we collect food donations, build sculptures, and then we donate all the items, which is great. I mean, thousands and thousands of pounds of food every year. So
it's amazing.
It's incredible.
I don't know. Well, the United Way does an amazing job of keeping stats and data. I don't know how you'd ever be able to collect how many people have been impacted by United Weekend.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's got to be an incredible number.
Yeah.
And it's an incredibly humbling thing to be a part of. If you're at the ballpark, you're able to bring a non-perishable food item, or if you're a business or a nonprofit out there and you want to show your creativity and have some fun at the same time, this is a great opportunity.
For sure, yeah.
And you mentioned Ben. Is that who they should reach out to?
Ben's in charge of it. So, you can always shoot him an email. You can call him at the office. He will gladly talk you through it and see what you need to do.
Amy, if people have follow-up questions and they want to get a hold of you, just call 211 or... Yep. No, I'm just kidding. It is true, though.
For sure. I mean, I answer the phone in the morning, so, you know.
We do encourage you to do that. And for anything else that you're curious about with the other things that we've covered today, encourage you to go to uwswac.org. It's uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date on things going on in your community and with our United Way. Amy, say hi to everybody over there for us.
I will. Thank you very much, James.
Really good to see you. Thanks for being
by. Yeah, you too.
We'll take a time out here, and we'll have more tomorrow for you, more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.